News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Morning, morning. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. We have Rob Hobert later on this hour from lanyapmobile.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk to him about a few things, including your buddy
J.T. Crabtree. J.T. Crabtree. The cover this week.
That is awesome for him. Right now we've got, and thank you very much, because she's up in Montgomery with everything in session, up there, State Representative Barbara Drummond from House District 103. Good morning, Barbara. How are you today?
Good morning, Dan. How are you? I'm doing great.
Good to talk with you again. I knew you way back when you were just in Sam Jones' office. Now you are the office. How's all that going?
Well, you know, I consider it a blessing. I never thought that I would end up in the office. And I just really, truly feel, you know, it was a calling to serve people. And that's something that I've always desired to do, whether in public or private life.
Well, enjoyed working with you in the past, and good luck in this new endeavor. I read your Facebook post, and there was also a story on WKRG.com about your post about the COVID-19 vaccine. Share that with our audience, and talk about your journey through this year of COVID.
Well, Dan, you know, the post, this entire pandemic and that post, as well as others that I've done on the issue, is very personal for me. The very first healthcare worker that died in Mobile County was a very dear friend of mine who dedicated her life to nursing. And she died as a result of COVID. One of the first, we didn't understand what was going on. And this week, while I'm in Montgomery, I got a call from friends who I grew up with in church, and they now live in Atlanta, and their mom in Mobile called to tell me not only did he die, but also his wife died of COVID. Mm. So this brings the number up to 23 people that I know personally who are friends. So this is very personal for me, and it's a time that I understand the hesitance of African Americans. I do. Because one thing that this disease has done, it has exposed not only the world, but America's skeleton of the inequities of the past. That's what's behind the distrust. People don't trust government. I understand all of that. But this is one time that you have got to trust someone, and you've got to trust government, you've got to trust the healthcare professionals, because this is not only your life, it's the life of your family, your friends, and your community. So we've all got to take a personal responsibility, and this has been hammered away at me since COVID began, you know, first taking personal responsibility to wear a mask, social distance, and wash your hands. And now that the vaccine is available, I was one of those that was sitting back being very skeptical. But then I saw how African Americans were disproportionately dying from this disease. And mainly because, again, the skeleton showing that our healthcare system has not been equitable to African Americans, society, the laws. And so all of those things have played into this distrust. But it's a time now that we've got to start trusting in healthcare and in government, because all lives are mattering right now.
Representative Drummond, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was wondering, have you received the vaccine yet? Have you gotten your doses?
I have. I got my second shot on this past Friday. And I can tell you the side effects were very minimum. I had a few chills. The area where they administered the shot was a little bit sore, but that has been it. I am a very high energy kind of a person, and those who know me know that I'm always on the go, and I have not stopped going. And this vaccine is safe. I have personally talked to healthcare professionals, not just in Mobile, but all around the country. And I have a daughter that's a healthcare lawyer who is also worked in Georgia, and we have looked at the science. This vaccine is safe. Everything piece of medicine that we take in this country comes with some sort of a risk.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to trust in order to make ourselves better. And this vaccine is safe, and people should be taking it. If it's your turn to take it, please don't pass that opportunity.
That was pretty much the basis of your Facebook post as well. You talked about receiving the vaccine and dismissing any trepidation from the past, and going ahead and getting the vaccine. Are you in any way? Are you getting to be a little more hopeful that many of your constituents are minds changing?
I told in that interview about an educator that mm-hmm. I came across who had told me that she was not going to get the vaccine. And as a result of that Facebook post and the interview, she called me up and she said, Representative, I'm going to get the vaccine. So if I can help one person to change that one mind, that's not just one life. It's her entire environment. All of those that are in her environment, their lives will be changed.
Yeah, I think part of the convincing, Dalton, would be to convince people who haven't gotten the vaccine that they're not just doing it solely for themselves.
Right, but for others in their life. We're talking with State Representative Barbara Drummond, House District 103 here in Mobile. And Representative Drummond, I'm wondering, you know, we did some polling early on, and of course it took a Herculean effort to make this vaccine available from the companies that have, but some polling early on showed across the board that not as many people wanted to take the vaccine as I would have thought. And I think as we've kind of gone further along through the distribution process, more people know others that have gotten the vaccine and have been fined from it. Have you found that to be the case, that the further we go and the more people that get the vaccine, maybe those numbers of people who are willing to take the vaccine has improved?
Well, I can give you one scenario that is in my family. And when I took the vaccine, the first shot, I had one of my family members say, well, I'm going to wait and see if you grow a tail. So it is actually true. The more people that are taking it, the more trust factors. But, you know, it is really sad that you see in our society that there's so much distrust in government, because mm-hmm. I don't think it's in the medicine. I think it's in government that, you know, I've been told, you know, all of these stories about the Tuskegee experiment and other things, and it all boils back down to distrust of government.
Yep.
And you know, we are going to have to begin trusting in government, because this is going to be the answer. I think things are moving now more in a more methodical, organized fashion, and I think the more that happens, I think the more that you will see people begin to take the vaccine.
Representative Drummond, thanks for sharing your story and your time this morning. We're so sorry for the massive loss personally that you've suffered during COVID-19, but maybe we get the word out and we begin to save some lives.
Well, Dan, I want to thank you and all for giving me this opportunity. And again, I say I encourage all of us to take a personal responsibility and do the right thing for ourselves and our families.
House District 103, Representative Barbara Drummond, this morning on FMTalk1065.com. You know, she comes from a very personal place talking about this, Dalton. 23 lives that she knows who've been snuffed out by this COVID-19.
It's quite a number. I know three, and that's very far off from 23, so mm-hmm. I can't imagine losing that many friends and family.
Okay, so there you go. Word to the wise. It's 15 minutes after 8 o'clock now. FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwick, certainly turning up your voice at 343-0106. Also, we'll check that text line. That's the same number. If you want to text, 343-0106 to FM Talk 106.5 and FMTalk1065.com. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. Good morning. We're going to get some traffic to you here in just a moment and update you with what Kane sees on the roads. We had some fog out there. That's been kind of an issue. Yeah. We talked to Dr. Bill about that as well.
Yeah, it was a foggy morning this morning, but, you know, it doesn't seem like there have been the usual accidents you would expect during a foggy work morning.
No, it's been pretty clear. Let's get Kane in with traffic right now on FM Talk 106.5, and here he is.
From the Deep South Speedway Traffic Center, we're finding heavier traffic at 181 and I-10 and Highway 90 as you're traveling into the Malbus area. The Bayway, the Causeway looks great. Most of the fog is already burned off. We're finding delays now from Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, also Moffitt and Spring Hill in 65, but no new accidents in the roadways. Spring Hill Toyota at 3062 Government Boulevard in Mobile, helping you buy your next car all online. Personalize your payments, get pre-approved, even schedule a home delivery. It's just that easy at springhilltoyota.com. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
821 FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Norwig. Okay, it's not the Masters. It's not the Super Bowl. It's not the World Series, but it's a big event this weekend, and it's going to be highly anticipated, and it's Donald Trump at CPAC.
That's right.
Is he kind of the keynote?
I don't know. What do you think? Which Republican or conservative would get top billing over former President Trump right
Nobody.
Now?
Nobody.
Yeah, I don't think anybody.
So, anyway.
Maybe if Reagan came back somehow.
If Reagan came back from the dead, it'd be a tie.
Yeah.
It would still be a tie. So, anyway, a lot of anticipation, a lot of speculation. He's not showing his cards too much right now, so we don't know exactly what his message is going to be, though we've heard the same message for years. You're with me or you're against me.
Right.
And that might be what we get. Also, Jeff Poor's going to be down there. We can talk to him about it.
Yeah, so you said Trump's been holding his cards tight. But, you know, not too tightly. Things have been leaking out from the Trump camp about what he's going to talk about Sunday.
What do you know?
And, yeah, coming up starting today, 9 a.m., the Jeff Poor Show live from Orlando at the CPAC. And Trump will be live from Orlando at the CPAC on Sunday. And Fox News reporting what the president will be talking about come Sunday. The sources that spoke with Fox News said former President Trump will go between, quote, warming up to the idea of a 2024 run and walking right up to the line of announcing another campaign, but he is not expected to make an actual announcement come Sunday. So CPAC kicks off today. Sunday will be the final day, and that's when Trump is expected to speak, and it'll be his first public appearance since he left office. And, of course, it comes after the Biden administration. President Joe Biden has, I mean, how many I don't even know what number of executive orders we are in the Biden administration so far, but it's definitely over 55. I think 57 was the last number I heard for executive orders under Biden. So that means that former President Trump begins his campaign Sunday leading into the 2024 elections. He'll already have plenty of juice, plenty of things to talk about that the Biden administration's done. I think he'll talk about the crisis at the border and something we discussed a little bit earlier this morning, that the Biden administration has now opened migrant overflow facilities for children, unaccompanied minors. I guess they're teenagers in this specific instance, but unaccompanied minors who made it across the U.S.-Mexican border. And a lot of Republicans are saying, listen, for 4 years, all we heard was kids in cages, kids in cages, kids in cages. And now you're calling them an overflow migrant facility. So that makes it different, I guess. I imagine Trump will talk about immigration and also probably will pump up the effort that was made by the Trump administration to have these vaccines that are becoming more widely available every single day. Remember, when Biden was going into office, he said he wanted to reach the goal of 1 million shots per day, 100 million shots over the first 100 days in office.
Right.
We actually hit or came very close to hitting 1 million shots per day while Trump was technically still in office. So I think the former president will talk about his role in the COVID vaccine rollout as well. And also this $1.9 trillion stimulus bill, which a lot of pork is being trying to be passed along in this. A lot of Democrat pet projects are in this bill, so Trump will probably have his field day with that as well. And that's kind of what's coming out from the camp, from Trump's camp, for as far as what he's going to talk about on Sunday.
And remember when we were wondering if it was political or not, because it was before the election, Trump talked about vaccines are coming very soon.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have an announcement very soon.
Yeah, that was back in...
That was before the election.
That was summer last year that he began talking about the vaccine.
But he was really talking about there's an announcement right around the corner.
Yeah.
And then the announcements did not come out from the manufacturers until after the election.
Right. That's
remember
right.
Remember that?
That's exactly right.
And so he had a weight on that. And, of course, at that point, the election is over. He's not going to win any points for that.
I had completely forgotten about that. Yeah. You're exactly right. We didn't. It was almost like Pfizer and Moderna held back those press releases for the week after, or at least the days following the election.
So the election Tuesday the 6th, and I think the announcements actually came out by one of or both of the companies on Monday the 12th.
Yeah. So that was back in November, right?
Back in November, right. So he's, you know, thank goodness. You know, I'm looking at the text line. There's a lot of people on the text line saying, heck no, not for me, after what Barbara Drummond said.
Yeah.
But so those are the people that we hear. We also see lines that where people are not getting the vaccine because the lines are too long. In places like that. So somebody wants the vaccine. You would not know that reading the text line necessarily. But the vaccines have been, in large part, a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you've got to give Trump a lot of credit for that.
And, you know, absent the vaccines, and this will make it, I think, 4 or 5 days in a row, we've talked about the Wall Street Journal from Friday op-ed that was written by a surgeon at Johns Hopkins, and he said he thinks we'll reach herd immunity by April of this year. Another doctor from UAB said certainly by spring she believes we'll hit herd immunity.
She talked about May, right?
May, that's right.
Yep.
And certainly a big portion of that is the vaccine rollout.
No doubt.
But a huge part is the number of people who have already been in contact with the virus. And remember, herd immunity, a lot of people were talking about that early on, and then some people believed that we should just, you know, go about our business,
wide open,
let the virus run rampant, mm-hmm. and let herd immunity do its thing. So that actual phrase kind of became almost like a no-no. It like became politically incorrect at some point to discuss herd immunity.
It did. Well, yes. The idea of, what became politically incorrect was the idea to let everything wide open and to get to herd immunity mm-hmm. in that way.
Yes.
So this is a different way of getting to herd immunity with the vaccines and those who've had it and who have survived. And in many cases have survived because they didn't even know they had it. Also, law enforcement's not all down with this.
No.
The numbers I'm seeing from law enforcement are just in conversations with people. Somewhere around 75% are saying, I would rather not get it.
Yep.
So
that's what we're
talking about the vaccine.
That's what Police Chief Lawrence Patisse said heading mm-hmm. into Fat Tuesday when he said they'd have plenty of police in downtown Mobile just in case there were a lot of crowds there. And he said at that time that about 25% of the MPD force had received the vaccine. It's not because that's all that was available, but a lot of police officers didn't want to get the vaccine. And listen, I get it. And we've seen it since the very beginning that polling has shown a majority of people don't want to get the vaccine, or at least didn't want to get it early on in the process. But kind of like what we spoke with Barbara Drummond about, since so many people know more people that have gotten the vaccine and have been fine after getting it, I mm-hmm. think that's changing some minds. Now, there have been stories of adverse reactions. There have even been stories of deaths. For the most part, I think that's happening in the elderly who get the vaccine. And I know there's been at least a couple stories of people in their mid-30s. But overall, I think if you, especially in hindsight, once we're looking back at this years from now, the number of deaths that may eventually be attributed to the vaccine mm-hmm. will be minimal in comparison to the number of deaths if there was no vaccine at all.
Yeah, I 23 deaths in and around the life of one woman,
right?
From right here in Mobile.
But what I said yesterday, what will happen if we do reach herd immunity, whether it's April or May, and you've got these vaccine companies, these pharmaceutical companies, Pfizer, Moderna, just churning out and planning to churn out billions mm-hmm. of the vaccine. You have Johnson & Johnson, who said they'll have a billion by the end of the year. You've got this Novavax vaccine on the way. And by the way, the Johnson & Johnson one and the Novavax aren't like Pfizer and Moderna. Those are the mRNA vaccines where they basically created I don't know the exact specifics, but they created this DNA and put it in the vaccine so that your body would react to it like it's a traditional vaccine.
Right, right.
These new Johnson & Johnson ones and Novavax are more traditional when you think of a vaccine. But what will happen with all those doses if so many people, once we reach herd immunity, are like, I don't think I really need the vaccine?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Maybe some people will get it again.
Yeah.
I don't know. 830 FM Talk 106.5. Rob Holbert from Landyap is on the way.
FM Talk 106.5. Listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Right now, time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great. And close to the end of February already. It means time to get over to McConnell and get one of those deals.
That's right. We've got them. Don't forget, we got that zero and money on those fine-looking Buicks sitting over on the new car side. Still got a few more used to sell to hit Mitch's bogey, and we need to do that because I still want to keep my job next month. So we got a few more cars to sell, and I think we got the inventory to do it. We got great deals on trucks, SUVs, cars, certified GMs, which give you an extra 12 on the warranty. Great interest rate. So come check us out in beautiful Midtown Mobile on Dolphin Street, east of I-65.
And let's talk about those trucks a little bit, because I know some people personally out looking for a new truck to ride around in, and you got some hot ones on the lot.
We've got some new trucks coming in here every day. The inventory's looking good. We've got some great, like I said, we got rebate. They don't have 0% for the trucks, but we got some good rebates on them, and we got plenty of 21 trucks here. So just come check us out. Like I said, we're in beautiful Midtown on Dolphin Street, east of I-65. If you got any questions for anything you see on the website, call us at 251-476-4141.
All right. Appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5. It is 8:37, and on Thursdays, we pull up our friend from Lanyap to talk with us.
Yeah, Rob Holbert joins us this morning. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing today?
Doing great.
Doing great. So before we get started, let everyone know how they can subscribe to Lanyap online and pick it up on stands.
Well, yeah, if you want to become a subscriber, it's only 21 cents a day. It's $1.50 a week. You know, it's cheaper than a cup of coffee. You can go online at my.lanyapmobile.com. It'll get you all of our stuff that comes out every week, plus breaking news, plus our podcast, plus our e-edition. There's a lot of bonuses to being there, but a lot of the breaking news stuff you're going to miss if you're not a subscriber. Of course, you can also pick the paper up for free at all of our boxes around town, all the purple boxes everywhere.
I was delighted this week to see the cover photo for the newest issue of Lanyap, and J.T. Crabtree, a guy I was in class with out at South Alabama, and he stayed at South Alabama. I came over to FM Talk 106.5, and he's now play-by-play announcer for so many sports out there on the South Alabama campus. So, tell us a little bit about this cover story.
Yeah, it's a fun story. Tommy Hicks did wrote on J.T., and you know, he started out as a super fan, as you well know, I'm sure, and
yeah.
Guy as Afro Man, wore a big wig and silly glasses, and he had his buddy Toga Man with him, and they would get out there and you know, just harass the other team and act crazy, and I guess that, you know, it's amazing how things lead your career, you know. You end up going somewhere because of that. You know, maybe he'll be the next Bob Costas one day, and he's talking about how he got into the business because he dressed up and wore a goofy wig and acting crazy at games. But it's a really good story. It's a fun story, and it's a, I think, uplifting story, you know?
Yeah, you know what?
Somebody achieve something.
You're breaking news to me, because I've been going to those games for years. I remember Afro Man and his partner Toga Man. I didn't know that was J.T.
You didn't know that his real identity.
I didn't know his real identity. So, well, his identity was simply J.T. Crabtree, unknown person back then. But now, and he does really a great job, too. You can hear it. You can hear him, how much he loves the team and how well he does a great job on the radio describing exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I think it comes through, you know, Tommy's got another really neat feature, too, about one of the basketball players, that she is a TikTok star and has 1.7 million fans.
Ooh, wow.
Well, so she does a lot of cooking and things like that, but that's also a really cool feature.
Wow.
I'm not really sure that Tommy sleeps at all. He does a tremendous amount of writing.
Yeah, he got on the staff at the exact right time. He's had plenty of great things to write about. And, you know, if I put videos of me cooking online, I think people would start throwing away their phones. I would have the opposite of that amount of fans.
Lanyap kind of went from, you know, having not enough sports news to having an overabundance of sports news. We got tons of it. Tommy and Randy Kennedy and Mark Bryant provide us plenty. So if you like sports, it's a great place to check out.
And I do like sports, and I like checking it out.
Yeah,
but
you do.
Also, your op-ed. Oh, not op-ed. And it's just the editorial
column.
When it's the
column.
Editor, your column, thank you. With damn the torpedoes, it's so good every week. But my eyes were certainly drawn to it this week. Has big tech made us better? And I think that's a conversation that, it's been had in D.C. and is being had, it seems, every day up there. But something that more and more people are talking about, big tech, is it like making us better as a nation? What are your thoughts on this right now?
We talk about that on the podcast this week, too, which just came out today. I think that's the issue right now. How many people are really happy with big tech, with social media? I don't know many people are really happy with it. We're arguing about, whether it's censorship, if they take people off, or whether what they should allow, that kind of thing. I kind of feel like what we're really arguing out about versus First Amendment rights really more is about access.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've all become used to having access. Back before the internet, way back when, nobody could, you didn't have access. You didn't have the ability to have everybody hear your opinion. You could write a letter to the editor and it might get in there. But that's, other than that, you could call people or write letters and tell them what you think. But now we're just used to having that ability. And the question of whether whether it's our right to say whatever we want to say online versus the rights of the private companies that own these platforms. And, I guess I sort of fall on the side of it's a private platform. And if they take away somebody's ability to make comments there, then we can vote with our feet or our fingers and go mm-hmm. somewhere else. That's it. To me, it opens up opportunities for other businesses is what it does. But these companies, also were facing, they're facing a lot of criticism for other things. You probably know the Australian law they just passed.
Yeah.
Creating a situation where Facebook and Google have to pay newspapers mm-hmm. and other news organizations for the articles that they're linking. People are linking and driving tons of traffic to them and for free, and they're not paying anything for it. So Australia passed a law. Well, what Facebook did immediately was just blocked all news in Australia. So people don't get news on Facebook in Australia anymore. You can't put a link up. You can't read anything. So is that censorship or is that their right? Those are the big discussions we're having right now. And that discussion is going to come. I think Europe's going to have it. We'll probably be the last ones to have it. But
yeah,
it's definitely something that a lot of folks are considering these days and what we want out of this. But it's hard to say to me that it's made us any better because I think we all can agree that it's the social media is a pretty mean place most of the time.
It's a real mean place. You got that right.
And I love being on Twitter. Like when Alabama or Auburn are playing a big game or some of the teams I follow. I mean, it can be a fantastic place sometimes, mm-hmm. these social media sites. But then on days like when Rush Limbaugh passed and then Tiger Woods' accident the other day, it seems so evil in so many ways, and I just get disgusted with it.
It is. It's it's really hard to watch, regardless of what you may think about somebody, mm-hmm. As a radio show host, to see somebody tweet that they ought to have suffered more, as a professor at UAB did, which created a huge scandal.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also say, well, is the reaction also justified? That person should be fired. That person needs to lose their job. Those types of things. I mean, we swing wildly, in my opinion. It's just it gets so out of control. It's a hard place. I don't really enjoy social media personally a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I don't do a tremendous amount of it because it is it results in fights and arguments and people say really nasty things, and it's just I try not to put a lot of my personal information on there.
AL.com's Cameron Smith had some words on that yesterday with Sean Sullivan talking about behavior on social media and how it ends up in lost friends, lost family members in some ways.
Oh, yeah.
As far as people talking. We're going to be right back here, Rob. Hang on.
Yeah, when we come back, Rob, I want to talk transportation, Amtrak, and food trucks.
Amtrak.
On FM Talk 106.5. 849 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Continuing our conversation here in just a minute with Rob Holbert from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. This segment brought to you by our friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and the crew doing great work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. Got a lot of junk that's been built up in your backyard, side yard, front yard, maybe some of the rooms in your house, and you don't have the time to clean the junk and get it out of the house, or maybe it's too heavy for you to get on your own. Just call Trey and the crew, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or visit them online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Remember that junky yard I saw near the tennis center?
Yeah, have they called yet? No.
They haven't called?
They haven't called.
And I think when I walked by there with Charlie, and it appeared that junk had been added. So anyway, if that's you, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
I think Charlie should apply at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Be the good boy around. So the price you get quoted is the price you'll pay. That's a pretty awesome part of this service. They don't add charges after the fact. And I know some people worried about getting close to others during this pandemic. You don't actually have to meet face to face with them. You can just point at what you want gone. They'll take care of it. So set up an appointment today. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the number, and 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com is the website.
Rob Holbert is with Lanyap and lanyapmobile.com. Rob, Amtrak, what's the story? Are we jumping the gun here? Is it going to happen? Is it just being speculated, and is it worth it?
Well, I would say that we probably the people of Mobile may be a little confused right now, because I know our friends over at AL.com had a story the other day basically from Amtrak saying, yeah, we're going to be there next year.
Yeah.
We have a story in the paper from that's in the paper this week saying the city council's holding over on voting for a passage of some money that's necessary for it, and there's a lot of argument about that. The reality of it is, and what's online, I think, on our website is probably the most accurate thing, is a combination of all those things. Dale got in touch with some variety of people yesterday and got sort of the whole story finally, because a lot of folks didn't get back with us before we went to press. But what it basically amounts to right now is you've got Amtrak saying, yes, we're going to be there next year. You have the city still in a situation where you've got councilors who are not on board with it, no pun intended, and you also have the port is not real happy that nothing's been worked out yet. You have other train companies not happy that there's nothing that has been, the study hasn't been completed yet. And then there's the whole issue on the money issue is the tough part. Because I think the first year it'll be taken care of by the federal government. But after that, you're talking about basically around $3 million a year that's got to come from the state and local. And, there's arguments about, whether, I don't know if you're going to get five city council people to pass that. That's going to be a tough one. I would love to take a train. I think it'd be a great thing. But I also say, from the financial standpoint, it's got to be fiscally worthwhile.
Right.
I don't know that anybody can show that yet. So it's still, I think, still very much up in the air.
So my own question about this really is this. It's a very northeastern kind of thing, the train travel. But up in the northeast, you have cities where you have millions and millions of people connecting Washington, D.C. to Philadelphia to New York City to Boston, that kind of thing. That works up there. It's necessary and it works. But would it be necessary and work in a city like Mobile?
I doubt we'd have the kind of traffic necessary to make it worthwhile or get back the amount of visitors that would make it necessary or make it worthwhile to pay that amount of money. So, that's the question. Now, public transportation isn't a money maker in general.
Right.
So, we have to look at it that way. It's not a business per se that we say, okay, well, if the bottom line is in the red, that we don't have public transportation, because if that were the case, we probably wouldn't have any. But we have to figure out if it's worthwhile. And, if it's wildly out of sorts, there's not a lot of people using it, that can be a real issue.
And I know sorry, Rob, go ahead.
I think that's the big thing. We're just still not there. We still don't have those answers.
I know of at least one city councilman and candidate for mayor, Fred Richardson, who is pro Amtrak. He said it a million times during the meeting the other day. He loves to compare our city to Savannah, Georgia, and I do see the similarities, but it was pretty funny in the virtual city council meeting watching Fred Richardson say, Savannah's this city, similar to us. They've got it going on because they've got Amtrak. But then he said, Savannah's beaches are mud, and we've got sand like sugar here on the Gulf Coast.
A little shade at Savannah.
He was. So I thought that was pretty entertaining. I think he would be an obvious yes vote if this did go to the vote. But what Dale wrote about and the Port of Mobile and why they have concerns about Amtrak coming in, I didn't even really take into account that side of the argument. And I guess part of the reason the Port of Mobile has been doing so well is that cargo traffic on our train lines has really picked up, because a lot of the train lines on the East Coast are hemmed up by things like Amtrak rail service.
Yeah, the passenger train gets the right of way. So everybody's got to stop for whatever they're doing, you know, if a passenger train comes through. Plus, they have more tracks, you know. So there's a lot to work out on this thing. And so, you know, I don't think, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer about Amtrak, but it's but I don't think it's an answerable question at this point. I think there's still a lot to look at. And it's, again, you're still going to have to get 5 votes on the council. And, you know, I mean, Joel Daves has basically said, hey, I think this is just this is fun times for wealthy people, but it's not really something we ought to do. I think you're going to have a tough time getting 5 votes, but we'll see.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I mean, makes sense that there's going to be serious conversation about it before the whole thing happens
like that. I also wanted to point out real quick that the nappy votes are going to start next week.
Oh.
Believe it or not, time goes on. We're back in the nappy.
All right.
Nappy awards are starting. Nomination period begins next Wednesday. I know. It starts anew. The whole thing. We're back out of this. We're going to have a good year. We're going to actually have the nappy party this year.
Oh, thank God.
That's the plan. That's the plan. But we've got some exciting new categories.
Ooh.
Including, you know, cutest cat. We had the dog last year, and believe me, we heard it from the cat people.
So really?
You can get out there and have your cat. And there's a lot of new exciting categories for folks too.
I might have to go out and buy a cat so I can take part in the fun
exactly.
of the new cat category.
You can borrow one. We have plenty of feral ones around my neighborhood.
What's the timeline on that again? Because usually the nomination period is at least
it's
a few weeks.
So we're going to do 4 weeks of nomination, and then we take a break and let people vote for the nominees. You know, you'll have the top 6 in each category, and then we vote on that.
All right, good stuff. And I mentioned food trucks, and I wanted to get that in before you leave us. So we talked about the discussion around Amtrak, but also City Council took it to food trucks this week, too. And new law, I guess it mandates, 150 feet between those trucks and then restaurants that may have outdoor seating, something like that?
Yeah, I think they kind of hit a spot where everybody is, you know, okay with it. I mean, it seems like the food truck people we talked with said, yeah, we're okay with that. You know, initially it had been 50 feet. You have to be 50 feet away from a brick-and-mortar restaurant. That upset the brick-and-mortar restaurant folks. Earlier it had been 300 feet from a restaurant, which seemed ridiculous that,
yeah.
You know, you wouldn't even really be able to be in downtown. So they found 150 feet. I think that gives everybody sort of a feeling of comfort and, you know, that they can be close enough to the action, but not be right in front of somebody's business.
Rob, any word on how that industry is doing during the pandemic? Are they staying busy?
You know, I think they seem to be rolling along, no pun intended again, but you know, I think they're going. It's you know, we talked to several of them. They're still in business and still going. I think they've found a good niche in the community.
Good stuff. We appreciate your time this morning, Rob.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
You got it, man.
Rob Holbert, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. You can catch the newest issue on Stands Now. Better yet, subscribe online, lanyapmobile.com. In Rob's words, cheaper than a cup of coffee.
Yes. A lot of great conversations on the text line this morning, too. We appreciate you. 343-0106 is the text line. Also, that's the phone line if you want to give Jeff Poore a call. He is on the way next on FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Olwig, and Mobile Mornings wrapping up today. Back with you tomorrow for a Friday. We'll be here at 6 a.m.